The views expressed are not necessarily those of 1010XL 92.5 FM. Now, recruiting tips, advice, and better ways to train. B3Better presents The Amateur's Edge with Jerrion Sanders, Randy Wade, and A.D. Roberts.
Shake it, baby.
Shake it, baby.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
I came in with the mic in my hand. Don't make me
know. Which one of y'all got the mic in your hand? That's my question.
I think all three.
Don't worry about how I'm ripping, but I'm picking.
Welcome to the Amateur's Edge.
This is what I do.
This is your host, Jerrion Sanders. I got Satira J here, Cleo Lemon, and a special guest, Theatric Faison. We're going to have a fun day today, y'all. We got the draft day special, man. We're going to be doing it big all day today. We got we're doing the draft day special at Fourscore Golf Tavern in San Marco from 2 to 5. We're going to talk a little bit about the draft today. We're going to get some opinions from people on how they felt the Jags draft went and all that good stuff. But before we get into that, let me ask everybody how y'all doing today. How you doing, Satira?
I feel amazing. It's a great day. Anytime football season's, I mean, this is just a reminder that football season is coming back.
Yes, ma'am, excited. Mr. Lemon.
Man, I got my dog in the building, Theatric in the building, man. You know I'm feeling good, man. We're going to have a great day today. Let's go.
Good deal, good
Gators,
deal.
Gators, wake up.
So how y'all feel about the Jags pick? Theatric, what you think about that first-round draft pick?
I like the pick, you know. I always say it's better for the Jags to draft needs. And a lot of people, you know, they want to go off a big name, but the draft the needs, man, from the first round to the second round. And I like Thomas.
Right.
You know, he's
right.
Long, he can run, he's a playmaker. And at the end of the day in that league, you can't never have too many playmakers.
Right, right. So is this the end of the Zay Jones era?
Zay Jones out of there. I'm sorry to say it, but Zay Jones out of there. You get a younger guy with the same attributes, but more explosive.
Right.
So my question is, when it comes to the draft, do you draft for need or do you draft best player? Because there's always
that
conversation about how you rate your draft board, who's left, what trades are being made, and then how you piecing this team together. How do you feel about that?
First round, I always think you got to draft off of need. Because you can't always draft the best player available, because that's like if you got a quarterback, the best player available, he ain't going to help you because you got Trevor right there. So you got to draft a need and somebody that can help the team.
And to your point, that's what happened in Atlanta, right?
Right.
That's what happened in Atlanta. They just paid, you know what I mean, Kirk Cousins. And then they go get, you know what I mean, Penix from Washington. So the fans weren't happy with that.
I wasn't happy. And I'm a Falcons fan. I wasn't happy.
Hold on. You a Falcons fan?
I'm a Falcons fan and Jags, just, man. I adopted the Jags. Listen, man, I'm from Georgia, man. I'm a GA first and foremost.
You got three teams.
Yeah. But so for me, I was like, yeah, we just paid Kirk Cousins $100 million, and it's guaranteed 4 years. So is Penix going to sit 3 or 4 years? And you still got to pay him that number 8 money, right? Whatever he slotted at, that's the money you have to pay him, whether he plays or not. So,
and Kirk's sitting there like, bro, y'all ain't helping me. Like, why y'all ain't bring me no piece in? Give me a receiver. Give me an offensive lineman. Give me a running back. Give me something. You know what I mean?
But I think that's where the front office comes in. I mean, I'm an Eagles fan. You don't have to ask where I'm from because I'm from there. I might live in Jacksonville, used to be a reporter for the Jags, but I'm still hometown Philly. But so to me, it depends on your GM and your office management. Howie Roseman is one of those GMs where he is going to put his team in the best position to succeed. So in a case in Atlanta, I mean, I don't understand these GMs who bring in players they know they got to pay and then they draft. So are you just going to pay somebody $100 million to compete for a starting spot? That makes no sense to me.
Nah.
But then that's ownership, right? That's on ownership. So if you're allowing your GM and your head coach to make those decisions, that's on you.
I don't think I don't think he knew about that. They showed a clip where after the draft, old boy was explaining himself. He had to tell why he took that pick. And at the end of the day, they didn't need nothing on offense.
Like, nothing.
They needed everything on defense.
And they needed a corner like no other.
That was crazy. They needed pass rush, corner, linebackers, because they got tight ends, they got receivers, and they got two great running backs. So
That
pick didn't make no sense.
Well, I'm hoping it pay off in the long haul. So, you know, being a Falcons fan.
Man, Falcons ain't been right since they lost to the Patriots. They just still trying to find their way. Unfortunately, that's the situation in Atlanta. So
what you guys think about it? It was six QBs drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
Six. That's a lot. Is that a record?
I don't know if it's a record.
It's the most
since 1985.
85?
I think it was 85.
Well, and I think it's the most in the first round since like 2010 or something like that. I feel like I heard somebody say.
I think, honestly, the way the system is set up with rookie contracts now, I think the value is in the rookie contract, right? So they want to grab a quarterback that they can put in that position for 5 years and then build their team with free agency and other draft picks. And that's really been a model for the past, since the new CBA, been a model.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But see, I don't know if guys like Drake May, mm-mm, Bo Nix, I don't know if they're ready to play. I wasn't a fan of that Bo Nix pick at all. I know they need a quarterback.
But so not to cut you off, I'm sorry, but it's the quality of player, to Cleo's point. Quarterbacks are not the same how they used to be. I feel like the last good class of quarterbacks was that Lamar Jackson and that Patrick Mahomes era, and you're talking about one out of how many picks. So quarterbacks are like few and far between. I think the pivotal thing now is making sure you have a coach on your coaching staff that can coach this player up to their potential. We saw that example in San Francisco.
Right.
I mean, the last last pick of the draft is leading their team to a Super Bowl. That's in coaching right there. So it's about the coaching staff, because the quality of players right now, I'm sorry, they're just not there.
I would say this about that pick. So I'm looking at the way it lines up. All right, so I'm thinking they wanted J.J. McCarthy. That's who they wanted, right?
Yeah.
And J.J. went at 10, which Minnesota traded back into that spot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right before their pick, right? So they snuck that. So they really wanted J.J. McCarthy to fall to him. Then I think they got desperate and just took Bo Nix, because they probably had him as the next highest rated quarterback. And they just, to Seattrick's point, they just drafted for need.
Right. Well, no, I saw an interview where Denver brought in Bo Nix. They showed him the playbook. He learned the playbook. They had him go out and make some throws, and they just fell in love with him then. So I think they really did want him. But for me, like going back to like J.J. McCarthy, like to me, he was a game manager.
Facts. I think J.J. was a reach.
It was a reach.
At the end of the day, J.J. averaged like 10 pass attempts a game in college.
Right.
To that point, you got to think who coached him, right? He was coached by an NFL quarterback.
Right.
So they're putting their eggs in that basket, saying that, you know, he's prepared, he's ready to go. And then he got the stamp of approval, you know, from Harbaugh.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So I think that's where his value was really in that part of it. He was in an NFL pro-style system. He was coached by an NFL quarterback. So teams feel comfortable picking him.
Right. What do you guys think about that Xavier Worthy pick to the Chiefs? He ran, the one who broke the record in the 40, ran the 4.2.
I don't doubt Andy Reid. I don't doubt him.
Yeah?
I think he's perfect for that system, you know. Andy Reid like to move those fast guys and match them up in that slot against them linebackers and safety. So I think Xavier Worthy, long as Andy Reid around, he's gonna have a great career.
They're just gonna fit him in. I just think when it comes to, I mean, to your point of how fast he ran the 40, we all know that transition is, you don't see that in the game
at all.
You not running no 4.2 any at type all. Of speed in the game. But if they put him in the right position, you put him at slot, you may see that breakaway speed at some point. But I mean, that's few and far between.
Right.
But the Chiefs have proven those type of guys work in their system, so they're going to make it work.
But he drops a lot of balls. He
definitely do that.
He drops a lot of balls, so he got to catch the ball first.
So pitch behind a quarterback. I mean, they're going to make it work. They're going to make it work.
We'll see.
No, you know, you got special teams. So it depends on, you know, a lot of different factors, but the speed is the speed. He's going to take it. He's going to make it work.
Right.
Caller, we see you holding on the line. We appreciate your patience. We're going to cut to a commercial break here shortly. But listen, if you want to call in and either speak to Seatric or talk about the draft picks, we are all ears. Give us a call on 904-641-1010. And to our new sponsor, Kessler Creative, are you tired of sitting on the sidelines while your competitors score big? Kessler Creative is here to help you win the marketing game. Our team of experts know exactly how to get your message to the right audience every time. Visit www.kesslercreative.com today, or you can give them a call at 1-800-394-9393. That's Kessler Creative, your MVP in direct mail marketing. We'll be right back after these messages. And don't forget, you can catch us live in color today at 2 p.m. at Four Score, a golf tavern in San Marco for our live draft special. See you soon.
David Garrard here. Playing in the NFL can put a lot of wear and tear on your body, especially your knees. Southeast Orthopedic Specialist has kept me mobile and ready to tackle every day.
Southeast Orthopedic Specialist.
David Garrard here. I've had the PRP treatment from Southeast Orthopedic Specialist, and my knees are really doing well. Platelet-rich plasma treatment may be the answer for whatever is hurting you.
Southeast Orthopedic Specialist.
Your wellness journey begins at Premier Physical Therapy and Rehabilitation, the gold standard in orthopedic and sports rehab for adults and adolescents alike. Dial 904-996-6922 or visit PremierPTJax.com today. Experience the Premier difference and take your first step towards a healthier, stronger you. Premier Physical Therapy, where Jacksonville comes to heal. PremierPTJax.com.
It's Taylor Dahl from Helmets and Heels. You know, I've got to tell you about an amazing experience I had recently. I'm moving, which most of you know can be a very stressful time. I had to get my carpets cleaned, so of course I called up Zero Res, and let me tell you, they did not disappoint. Zero Res came in and worked their magic, leaving my carpets looking brand new. If you want impeccable service and a great deal, it saved me time, made my move a bit easier, and was less than if I took that apartment cleaning fee. Zero Res, spelled backward or forwards, is the right way to clean.
Cooking with Prisco.
These things are wonderful. You're going to love it. Have a rollies.
Oh. Catch CBS Sports senior NFL writer Pete Prisco every Friday afternoon on The Franchi Show. Brought to you by Showtime Sports Cards and Collectibles on 1010XL.
Unlock your true potential with the power of sports hypnosis, a power embraced by elite athletes worldwide. Experience the same techniques for peak performance that have propelled top professionals in the NFL, the NBA, MLB, and the PGA to new heights. So whether you're an aspiring athlete or a seasoned pro, HypnoFit tailors to all ages. Visit HypnoFit.me today for more information to receive a free copy of AB's book, The Power of Sports Hypnosis. Step into greatness. Your journey to peak performance begins at HypnoFit.me.
I'm Justin Norndorf, creator of DVS, a medically backed pitching development program designed to develop young throwers' arms safely. We are excited to be launching our Florida Development Center at B3 Better in Jacksonville. To celebrate DVS, we are offering a free virtual coaches clinic and also giving away 20 free team DVS and athletic assessments at B3 Better. To register for the clinic and your team's chance to win, go to b3better.com/DVS and secure your spot today.
1010XL is presented by Farrah & Farrah, exclusive injury law firm of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Protecting you and your family. Call 396-5555. Jacksonville, it's the Amateur's Edge. Brought to you by B3 Better on 1010XL.
All right, we got a caller on the line. Stu, you want to talk about the draft?
I do.
All right, we're listening.
I want to talk about the Green Bay draft. You know, there's other fans of other teams in Jacksonville, Florida.
Cool. What's your point? Give it to us.
I just want to know, do y'all ever talk about, you know, other draft picks of other teams?
Sure. What would you like to talk about? We're listening.
I would like to talk about Jordan Love. What was picked on defense? What was picked? You know, y'all could talk about the Jags and who the Jags picked, but you know, the Jags got to play the Packers.
Okay.
And you already know what the Jazz going to do to the Packers, so why we need to talk about that, Stu?
Jazz ain't going to do nothing, but, you know, ease their pain by jumping in that pool that's full of you-know-what.
Hey, Stu, man, we got Seattle here today, man. We want to talk about Seattle. We'll talk about that another day, man.
Stu,
how about that?
Stu, come on. We'll see you at Four Score.
Stu tripping today, eh?
Stu, you can swing by Four Score and talk all you want. We'll have 3 hours later for you to have your whole conversation, okay?
Tell
and you can talk about Jordan Love and all of that.
Tell us say what's up to the man, Cleo.
What's happening?
What's happening? I ain't seen you at the shop in a while, baby.
Come on, Stu.
It looked like it, too. Clea looking a little wolfy.
I look a little rough.
Yeah, he's looking a little
rough. All right, Stu, I got to come holler at you, babe.
We'll catch up with you.
All right, Stu, we heard you loud and clear. Thanks for calling in.
Good deal, good deal. So everybody knows Jacksonville has a very, very strong and rich football history. We got 3 Hall of Famers, multiple high school All-Americans, multiple collegiate All-Americans, multiple guys who played in the NFL. None of them, well, I ain't going to say none of them, but one of the all-time greats is sitting here with us today, Seattrick Faison. Seattrick ran for 7,400 yards rushing in his high school career, was a parade All-American, a 5-star recruit, rated the number one running back in his high school class, was an all-SEC running back, honorable mention All-American, declared for the draft in his junior year of college, was drafted in the 4th round by the Minnesota Vikings. The list goes on and on. We'll be here all day if I went through all the accolades. But welcome to the show, Seattrick.
Appreciate it.
Did he miss anything? Is there something on that list that you would like to add or that he didn't mention?
Nah, he ain't missing nothing.
Okay. I would like to add, I don't know, aren't you a Gator Bowl Hall of Famer?
Definitely. On Florida Georgia Hall of Famer.
That's awesome, man. I remember when you got inducted to that, man. That's special, bro.
That's huge.
Congrats on that.
That's huge. Yep. That's huge.
I'm just curious. We just listed all these accolades. What's the most memorable one for you out of everything he just said? Mm. What do you still think about to this day?
Probably all SEC. All SEC. And the reason why, because I don't know if people follow my story through college. My first year of college, we had Ernest Graham, who was up for the Heisman. Once he left my sophomore year, I started off the season as third string running back. Behind Rand Carthon and Deshaun Winn. Rand is the GM for the Titans right now. So it was kind of weird because, you know, I asked the coach, man, why I'm third string? He said, you score too fast. That's the name of the game.
Right.
Man, I'm trying to get these touchdowns. So, you know, I almost left Florida.
Right.
5 games in, we played Kentucky. I don't even go to practice.
What?
We lost. We beat Kentucky. Coach Zook tried to put me in with like a minute left. We was down by 5. I like, Coach, if I go in the game, man, and lose, if we don't win, you go put the game on me, and I'll be in. It's 30 degrees out here. I'm not going in the game. So we got on the plane. I told everybody I'm not going to practice.
Allen Iverson.
So I missed practice, and everybody thought, you know, they were blowing my phone up. So I go meet with Coach Zook. He's like, what's the problem? Coach, I could play. So I was like, all right, man, I'd just rather go somewhere else. And he was like, where you going to go? I was like, man, look, I was just a 5-star. I was number one running back in the nation a year ago. So I put this list of teams on his desk. He was like, you ain't going nowhere. I'm not signing you to go to – I had Florida State. I had everybody Florida played. And at the time, you know, coaches got to give you a waiver for you to play them teams. So he was like, man, look, it's 5 games in. Just play the rest of the season. I was like, all right. So he suspended me that same week versus Ole Miss. I was like, what's my suspension? You going to play special teams. Man, I've been doing that all year. There ain't no suspension. So we played LSU the following week. I started getting off and stuff. So – but between the last 5 games of the season, I rushed for like 600 yards. Mm. I was third team all SEC and didn't play the first 5 games.
Wow.
As a sophomore.
As a sophomore. And then going into the offseason, he put me a backup again. I won all the running back awards for the school my sophomore year. Still put me as a backup. So we played the first game versus like Eastern Michigan or something like that. I ended up running for like 140. He was like,
as a backup.
As a backup. So after that, I started starting. I led the SEC in rushing. And I was the first 100-yard rusher the last game of the year versus Florida State. And they ain't allowed a 100-yard rusher in 3 years. Mm. And pretty much that made me leave school early. So I say, you know, my all-SEC year, first team all-SEC year was the most memorable.
So I heard you say something that I want to go back to when you said you almost left Florida. If the rules today existed back then, would you have been gone?
Nah. I think I was bluffing more than anything.
You love Florida that much?
Because at the end of the day, I was committed as a junior, the beginning of my junior. I was committed on signing day of my junior year. Coach Spurrier was like, let's take all the hype from Florida State. I don't know who they had at the time. He said, let's take the hype. I committed, and I was locked in. I was always a Gator.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, it's more of a brotherhood thing for me. Like, if you bounce from school to school, it ain't no brotherhood there. You don't know what school you're going to go back to.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I think I would have jumped in a portal if it was like it is today, just to use my leverage to get more money, because that NIL jumping. And, you know, I always tell people before CP3, before all these names, it was C4. Okay. Like, before anybody, it was C4. And I think just people calling me that alone, that would have did a lot for me. So I would have played with the portal a little bit, but I would have always dropped back and went back to school.
Right, 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 right.
But now that rules, I mean, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on how the rules have changed, because to your point, back in that time, coaches had to sign off on it. Now there's nothing they can do. And, I mean, you're a coach yourself. So what advice would you give to coaches and even players listening? Because I think one thing that I appreciated about the story you told is your coach – He kind of fought for you to stay. And coaches, I mean, they don't have that leverage these days.
Yeah, I'll say, man, you know, as a coach, if a player wants to leave your school, you might as well let him go. Like, at the end of the day, you might as well let him go.
After you put time and effort into developing him, you just going
to
let him go?
I mean, if you fighting for a kid that don't want to be there for real. My thing was different. Like, some of these kids, they jump in this portal, and some of them starting. Some of them right. getting off, and that's my thing now. It's not like they sat around there 2 or 3 years mm-hmm. and they jumping in. Some of them is starting. So if you got a kid that's starting and he telling you he want to leave, what you keeping him for? Because at the end of the day, he not gonna give you his all for the university.
Bye, Felicia.
He might do it for himself. And at the end of the day, if he making that NIL money, he don't even care about the league, so he ain't gonna go hard for you.
Right.
So you might as well let them go. Let me get that player who want to be at the school. Because mm-hmm. most of the time, them players that want to be at the school, they know their opportunity is slim to none. They're going to go extra hard for you and make sure you win. And as a player, man, I just say give these coaches an opportunity. Like, some of y'all want to jump in this portal because you want to start as a freshman. But your odds of starting out as a freshman is slim to none, because it ain't too many guys that's walking onto a college campus is ready jumping in there right now, because people say, oh, you this, you that. But that weight room is a big difference from going from that high school weight room to that college weight room. And them boys hit a little bit harder and run a little bit fast. So sometimes it take you a year or two to adjust.
Right.
And depending on what conference you go to, it might take you 3 years, because you go to that SEC, man, that's a different type of ball game.
But see, that's a conversation Cleo and I had the other day behind the scenes. If you're bringing in a kid, he's a five-star, that number is going to be high, right? You're paying a kid $500,000. Can he sit now? Can you bring in a kid and you're paying this kid $500,000. Can you truly sit a kid that's making that much money?
First of all, you paying a kid $500,000 because he's a five-star, the coach is messing up, the school messing up, because prior to that year, they brought in that same position as a five-star.
But that's the going rate, though.
Hey, I mean, that kid know it's a five-star in front of him, and that coach know it's a five-star in front of him. So the money shouldn't even be a thing. Like, if you're going to pay him $500,000, and you're going to take the $500,000. As a player, if you're going to take the $500,000, you might well sit.
Right.
You could pay me $500,000 to sit.
Right. Well, but when you got Big Brother tapping on your shoulder, because, you know, this is about collectives, right? So the NIL is about a collection of people who put money together to pay an athlete. So when you got Big Brother tapping on your shoulder saying, hey, we just raised $500,000. If you want another $500,000 for that next five-star, I need to see that kid out here playing. We all know how politics is and how the game goes, and that's how it's going to be played. So does that, to me, I think that's going to be detrimental to the development of those athletes, because they're going to have to play if you're paying them a lot of money.
Well, to play devil's advocate, and this is what we also talked about, and you can chime in on this as well. I was saying that all five stars are not five stars.
100%.
Facts.
You see what I'm saying?
Facts. 100%.
Like, sometimes you get rated that, and you're not that.
Right.
Sometimes you get drafted in the first round of NFL draft, and you're really not a first-round pick.
Right.
But then you have to perform to that pressure.
Right.
So a lot of times, who's rating these kids?
And that's what I was going to say. You know, back when we was playing high school ball and coming out of high school ball, the college coaches was rating us. We actually had to go out and play football. They had to come to your game. You weren't getting off until they saw you live, and you weren't getting rated by Joe Blow, who never played football before. You got rated by these college coaches, and your ratings was based off of what type of offers you had. Now, man, they just throw out offers. You get homeboy stars. Kids get to sign up on 24/7 and type some stuff in, and just because you go to a camp and you signed up, you paid for their subscription.
Right.
You getting three stars as soon as you leave the camp, and you lost every rep at the camp, but you getting three stars. And I be looking at some of these files. The people ask me, I'm honest. Coaches say, what you think about such and such? I don't like to talk down on kids, but if you ask them for my opinion, I got to give it to you.
Right.
And I be like, that boy, he ain't like that for real. Like, he playing 1A football out there in no disrespect, but Hilliard, man. And he dominating everything out of there. He crossing over to Duval. Like,
right.
Just being honest, like, it's a big difference. Like, I tell people all the time, you get these Florida players, and you put a one-star Florida player up in Cincinnati or somewhere like
even
that.
Even California.
They're going to stand out.
They're going to stand out. Definitely.
We're having some good conversation here. Honest conversation for all of you parents who think your kids are five-star athletes. Just call in and ask Yatrick. He'll give you the real deal on that. Are you looking for a new marketing or advertising tactics to spread the news about your business? Here's a thought. You can join the Amateur's Edge Sports Radio family by becoming a valued sponsor, where your partnership reaches beyond the airways and into the community. If you're interested, give us a call at 856-296-5108, or you can send an email to Cetera, CETERA at the letter B, the number 3, better.com. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere.
What makes a Honda certified pre-owned vehicle so special? 182-point inspection, 24/7 roadside assistance, first-year free oil changes, and a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty for carefree driving backed by American Honda. Visit your local Honda dealer today.
Time now for a medical recap. A health and wellness tip from Jaguars head team physician, Dr. Kevin Kaplan.
Rotator cuff tears are the most common overhead injuries I see. In order to avoid shoulder issues, make sure not to overload the front of the shoulder while also focusing on developing good scapular strength and maintaining flexibility in your lats. Proper hydration, nutrition, and supplementation are also crucial to joint and muscle health. Go Jag.
New and pre-owned firearms are always in stock at Beach's Jewelry and Pawn in Jacksonville Beach. Want a new sidearm or rifle? Brands like Kimbar, Smith & Wesson, Sig Sauer, and Beretta. No lines, no hassle. Beach's Jewelry and Pawn in Jacksonville Beach.
Step into the world of B3 Better Sports, where every athlete is an emerging champion. Tailor-made training programs based on science, crafted for your sport, your position, your ambition. Train smarter, not harder. Just 2 to 3 times a week is all it takes to unlock your true potential. Join the legacy of top athletes from Jacks, transforming from aspiring to inspiring on and off the field. B3 Better isn't just about sports. It's a launch pad for life successes. We're more than a program. We're a community. Rise above, excel, become the athlete you're destined to be with B3 Better Sports Performance.
Weekends were made for sports, and I'll tell you my take on this weekend's best options. Pickett here. Watch for a Weekend with Dan on YouTube and Facebook. Weekend with Dan is brought to you by Stone Core. We do outdoors better.
Instant Keys. You don't have to go to the dealer. Instant Keys comes to you.
Instant Keys saves the day if you have lost or broken keys. They can program new keys and remotes for nearly every make and model of vehicle. at a fraction of the dealership cost. Fast, honest, and reliable locksmith service. Call 722-1111.
Instant Keys. Instant Keys. You don't have to go to the dealer. Instant Keys comes to you.
Your wellness journey begins at Premier Physical Therapy and Rehabilitation, the gold standard in orthopedic and sports rehab for adults and adolescents alike. Dial 904-996-6922 or visit PremierPTJax.com today. Experience the Premier difference and take your first step towards a healthier, stronger you. Premier Physical Therapy, where Jacksonville comes to heal. PremierPTJax.com.
1010XL is presented by Farrah & Farrah, exclusive injury law firm of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Protecting you and your family. Call 396-5555. Jacksonville, this is the Amateur's Edge. Brought to you by B3 Better on 1010XL.
Fletcher Grad and former Florida Gators star running back Cedric Faison headlines the class set to be inducted into the 2021 Florida Georgia Hall of Fame. Faison was a five-star recruit who played his ball in Gainesville from 2002 to 2004. In 04, he was named first team All-SEC, led the conference in rushing yards per game, was the recipient of the Ray Graves Award given to the team's most outstanding player. 2-1 against those old dogs during his career, including rushing for 139 yards and had a career-high five catches in that 2004 game. Was that five touchdown catches? Yeah, five catches. The ceremony would take place Friday, October 29th.
That hurt me to my heart to hear you was 2-1 against my dogs, man. I just want you to know that, man. You really shouldn't be sitting here right now.
Don't be a Gale. You just pulled a Gale. That's why
you really shouldn't be sitting
meant.
Here right now, man.
Don't be a Gale. You just pulled a Gale. That's pretty phenomenal.
That is
phenomenal.
Five catches, five touchdowns? That's what he said?
No, I ain't had that in that game. I had five catches that game for like 80 yards or something like that.
How many rushing yards you had?
Like 140.
Oh, damn. He said that so casually.
Oh, he liked that.
Yeah.
I got a question because, I mean, I think it's always, first of all, I'm honored to be sitting here because everybody, I mean, kids play football every day to have those accolades. So I don't take it lightly that I'm sitting here near greatness because I'm technically not next to you. But everybody goes into their sport wanting to hear that. Like, when did you know you had something?
Probably when I was in the seventh grade.
So what about being 11 years old, 12?
Yeah, 11, 12.
What about, how do you know at 11 or 12 you're going to have those kind of accolades?
I was a football junkie.
Okay.
Ever since I was 7 years old, I'd say six. I got two older cousins that played in the NFL as well,
mm-hmm.
Raheem Abdullah and Khalid Abdullah, and their dad is my great uncle.
Mm-hmm.
So they back then you couldn't play football when you was 6 years old. So when you was 6 years old, you could go to a park, and I always ran when they did their drills. I ran beside them, even though I couldn't play. And then as I started getting older, man, I stopped. At some points, I wouldn't go outside during football season. Like, I'm watching football. I'm learning. Like, everybody asks me my favorite backs. All my favorite backs played in the 70s and the early 80s. So I watch old stuff. And, you know, I was able to translate it.
Mm.
Like, O.J. Simpson, Gale Sayers style.
Mm.
Like, that's my style of running.
Yeah.
And for your time.
I'm a Roger Craig fan, so that's where I get my knee lift from. So when I got to seventh grade and knew, oh, this kind of easy. Then I got to eighth grade, and it was like, I rushed for 2,000 yards in five games.
Wow. Mm.
I got my first offer before I got to high school, Florida State offered me a scholarship at the camp.
Wow.
Because I lied and told them I was a junior and senior. and
you was that big?
I was that big. And I don't know if y'all remember Kendall Pope.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Kendall Pope was at the Florida State camp. And I did a one-on-one against Kendall Pope. I didn't know who he was. I was young. I just got up there and went, and I beat him. And a lot of people don't know Greg Jones played linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Jones was at that same camp. Greg was playing linebacker. He was big. Hey, I wouldn't let Greg get his hands on me. I was young, but I was smart at the same time. And, hey, I said, give me a wheel route. Yeah, I went and ran a wheel route on Greg Jones, and I caught it. At the time, I didn't know who he was. And then Coach Bowden said, hey, you got you need to meet me in my office. He named eight players, Greg Jones, Kendall Pope. It was like eight of us. So I was the first person he called in the room. He said, you know what this is? I said, y'all probably kicking me out of camp because I lied. I lied about my grade. He said, no, this is a scholarship offer.
Wow.
So 7th grade, 8th grade, once that happened, I rushed for 1,300 yards in the 9th grade, man.
Wow.
So
varsity.
18 touchdowns in varsity. And Fletcher went through a stint where they was 1-9 for 3 years before I got there. And I got recruited by Bowles. I was like, no, I'm going to Fletcher. I always wanted to go to Fletcher. Went to Fletcher my first year. We was 8-2. And then we played against Clinton Portis in the playoffs. He rushed for 210. I rushed for 205. He came up to me as a freshman after the game. They beat us by a touchdown. He say, if you keep this up, man, you could be the best running back in the nation.
Wow.
And once he said that, that put me over the top.
That's right. What you knew.
The next day, I went from 175 to 205 in like 3 months.
Okay. Wow.
That's awesome, man. You remember when we first connected? Do you remember? I don't know if you remember. We was out there on the Jaguars practice field.
Yep.
When you first came in.
Yep.
I was like, man, this is pretty cool. You get to play for your hometown team and me getting to make a connection with you. And then from that point, I really reconnected with you when you started your Starfish Foundation. That to me, that was big, right? And you put in a lot of work. I don't know if people realize that.
Yep.
And I always looked at it from afar. And I always would see you and, you know, give you your flowers because I thought you was doing an amazing job. Tell me about that and what that meant to you. Doing that for the youth here in Jacksonville.
Oh, it was big, man. You know, it's crazy that when I started Star Ready, man, the crazy thing is I took my son to a youth football practice. He was playing youth football for an association, and I didn't like how it was going. You know, being a football guy, you know, we look at certain things like, God, we got to – nah, this ain't right. This ain't how it's supposed to be done.
Right.
And then I noticed when I got back to the city, a lot of people had these youth football parks just to make money off kids. So I was like, you know what? I can do this. I got a name. Let me do it. And at the end of the day, it wasn't about money for me. It was about giving kids a great product, letting them have fun, and treat them like college before they get to college. And at the end of the day, some of these kids probably ain't going to never see college.
Yep.
But if I could give them experience early, you know, they could say, hey, even if they never make it, they can say, man, I enjoyed my time with Star Ready. And that was the whole thing, man, and giving back. And I always said, you know, a lot of people leave the city. And a lot of people left Jacksonville who made it out of Jacksonville and never came back. And I said I was never going to do that. I was going to always come back and give to the city. Because at the end of the day, man, I think kids make the world go round.
Right.
So I like to see every kid in the world be successful, and definitely in my own city.
That's
right,
awesome, man.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. We got a call on the line. Leonard?
Yeah. I'm here.
How you doing today, man?
I'm doing all right. Theatric, I don't know you personally. You remember Joe Antone? Bet Fletcher?
Joe?
Yes.
Yeah, he talked about you like you were the greatest thing since sliced bread. And you broke my heart when you were playing at Fletcher because I went to Sandalwood. And then you went on to the Gators and broke my heart since I graduated from Florida State. But I always followed your career and really enjoyed watching you play.
I appreciate that. It's hard. Hey, that goes a long way when a Sandalwood and a Florida State person tell me.
Hey, you know, you gave me my heart a little jump when you said you were thinking about leaving Florida to go to Florida State. I would have been calling you and begging you. You'd have been a line of a lot of good running backs there. You would have been at the top of that list.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Good deal.
You're welcome, man.
Good deal. Well, thanks for calling in, Leonard.
No problem. You guys made me reach back into my high school days.
There you go. Have a good day, my man. So I have a question for you. So today's like the theme is, you know, the draft and the whole draft process. How was that for you, going through the draft process, sitting there with your family? Can you take us back to that time and what was going on with you during that time? Feelings, thoughts?
My draft process was crazy. You know, it was good, but it was crazy.
Right.
Because the one thing about the draft people, man, they was honest with me. I got a late first round to fourth round grade, so they was honest. But my aunt, man, my whole family wanted to throw a party. I just ain't know what day to throw the party on. And I was like, maybe we should do the second day, but my aunt decided to go ahead and do it on the first day. So I was just sitting, you know, back then, you man, when we was in, the first three rounds was the first day. So you had to sit for a long time.
Right.
So, man, I'm sitting from the end of the first round to the next day. And it was crazy, man. Y'all, a lot of people don't know, but I grew up a 49er fan, but I cheer for, you know, the Jazz because they local. So, but, man, I got a call from the 49ers, and they told me they was going to pick me. 49ers picked Frank Gore the same year. So they picked Frank Gore. I was like, man, I almost played for the team I grew up on. And then the last pick of the draft, I think the third round was Denver Broncos. They called me, about to get you, Maurice Clarett.
Mm.
At that point, I was like, man, I don't even know. So, I had a good time, good party, but it was stressful, you know, getting these calls. And then this how this process for the play out for the next two days after this one. Like, I don't know when I'm going to go now. Like, because, you know, they give you a call and you really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, man, the next morning, that Sunday for the second day, I end up going, man, I was like, man, I'm finna leave the house. They had another little get together at my brother-in-law at the time house. And I'm like, man, you know what? I'm going to get some gas. I wake up early in the morning. I'm going to get some breakfast. I'm at the fast food spots. Everybody else at the house. My aunt called me and say, congratulations. I was like, huh? I mean, I'm pumping gas. Congratulations. Say what? You going to Minnesota? I'm like, man, I don't even know what Minnesota is. That's in Canada. Man, I don't know what Minnesota is. But the crazy thing about that, while I was pumping gas, I got a call from the Jacksonville Jaguars. You are still on the board. We didn't think you'd be on the board this morning before. And I said, oh, okay. So if you there, we're going to get you. I get home and realize Minnesota traded up. Because they traded Randy. I was one of the picks that Randy was traded for.
Mm.
So they traded up, like, all these spots. They traded, like, three picks
Randy Moss.
To the fourth round.
That's a trivia question.
They traded up, like, four, like, they traded, like, three picks or something to move up to get a fourth. Man, they drafted me. I'm like, man, I don't know in Minnesota. Mike Tice get on the phone. Hey, we just drafted you. You ready to come to Minnesota? I'm like, yeah. But in my mind, I'm like, man, I don't know what Minnesota at. Like, and then I'm thinking about Minnesota. I know football.
Right.
Michael Bennett just was a Pro Bowler. You got Williams was there, been in lead like 13, 14 years. You had Ontario Smith.
Yeah.
You drafted Moel DeMore the year before. What y'all finna do with me?
Right.
And then what y'all about to do with me? So, you know, that process was crazy, but man, when I got up to Minnesota, it was lovely. But sitting around for hours, man, you know, at the time, man, the draft, that first day of the draft go by 6 hours, seven hours.
Mm-hmm.
So the only good thing, the only blessing that came out of it was the second day started by 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So I ain't have to wait around all the second day. But, you know, anytime you get that name call, it's always a blessing. And then at the end of the day, it didn't matter what round I got drafted in. I could have been Mr. Irrelevant for all I care.
Right.
I always told myself, I just want to hear my name call. And since I wasn't there, the good thing, my auntie was recording it, so I got a chance to go watch the recording to see what they did call my name. It was definitely a blessing.
Did you second guess your decision after that first day? Did you think, man, coming out as a junior, maybe I should go back?
Nah, because you know what? A lot of people don't know, but I had two kids when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So I always say my goal, and that motivated me to be the person that I was. Like, if you talk to anybody who played with me or knew me from Jacksonville in college, I always said I was going pro in 3 years. It ain't matter what, because I had to feed two kids.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, it didn't really matter. And then I met Urban Meyer when he first got the job, and Urban Meyer was honest. Urban Meyer pretty much made my decision easier. Irmaya told me if I came back, I'd probably end up getting between 600 and 800 yards. I'm like, I just rush about 1,300 yards. Ain't no way I'm coming back to rush for 600, 800 yards, because he liked that motion, used the receivers.
Mm.
So I didn't regret it, but I was, hey, at some, I'm, you know, when I started thinking about I should have went back my junior year, when I seen Joseph Addai go first round the next year.
Mm.
And I was like, I ain't, man, you know, we played against LSU. Joseph Addai was all
right. Right.
But it was like, he went like that.
Right.
Yeah, like, I think he was a better pro. Like, he did a great job in the pro, but I think he was a better pro than he was college player. And then when I seen him go first round, I was like, huh. But that was, it was too late at that time.
Right.
And then that's when I didn't know what that money looked like for real. I was like, hey, that first round money looked different.
Than that fourth
round money. Yeah. So
good deal. So you get to Minnesota. There's all these backs in front of you. How was that experience? And did you work your way into the rotation?
Man, I'm going to tell you, I got to Minnesota. I just said, you know what? I'm going to just do what I do. I'm going to play football. My high school coach always told me when I went to college and the pros, practice like you playing a game. At the time, I didn't know what it meant until I got to college and I realized you got an extra gear. So at every level, you got to put an extra gear in. And, you know, the vets ain't going to practice like them rookies.
Right.
So I said, let me take advantage of it. And I took advantage of it. And then they started nicknaming, like, this C4 dude real. And this was coming from, like, Antoine Winfield and the Fred Smoots. Even Sam Cowell was there.
Right.
I was there. And the vets were like, man, this dude could play. I started off like fifth string. They put me behind the undrafted free agent. And I was like, what they trying to do? So I got hungry. I attacked it. And Coach Tice's brother, Mike Tice's brother, John Tice, came up to me and was like, hey, you my guy. And when he said, Mike Tice called me in the office and said, hey, somebody love you around here. I was like, who that? My brother. And then Coach Tomlin used to come up to me and say, hey, you going to give us a show today? Because I kind of changed my style once my rookie year because I didn't want to get hit by them folks be bragging in the league. So I kind of went back. Let me go back to seventh grade where I used to be fast and use my jukes. And they used to start calling me Bambi because they would be like, uh-oh, Bambi. Because every time I juke, somebody looked like their ACL was tearing.
Ooh.
And Fred Smoot gave me that name.
Right,
and Fred Smoot used to say, hey, Bambi. And every time we watch it, I do a highlight in practice. Coach Tyson get to the meeting room and say, look at this. Look what he do today.
Right.
And Coach Tomlin used to be like, man, this kid a beast. So I ended up started playing. And what they did was just, like, to get me on the field with all them backs, they made me a short yardage and goal line back. I was 205 pounds being a short yardage and goal line back. But, hey, I ain't care. You got that ball to the 2-yard line. I was going to score your touchdown.
Right.
it was hard at the time. But when I realized, you know, for a fourth round running back to come into the NFL and even touch the field with a 13-year vet and then a Pro Bowl running back, and then Ontario Smith was the truth.
Right.
If he never get in trouble for that Wizenator thing, he probably would have been our starting running back. That boy was the truth. And Moel DeMore was a complete back. So I'm like, they fit me in. It was no complaints. I just realized how hard you had to work once you got to that level.
Right. And so you were there for 1 year or two?
I actually did two in Minnesota going into my third year when they got Adrian Peterson.
Right.
So
when AP came, you knew it was a wrap.
Not really.
Yeah?
Not really, because, like I say, I'd be ready for competition. AP, you was the number one high school running back in the country. Me too.
Right, like, right.
But the only thing is, we went through a coaching change. When Mike Tice got fired and then Brad Childress came in, you know, he didn't draft me.
Right.
So it was like he didn't draft me. The GM didn't draft me. And we actually was going through an owner change too my first year.
Right.
So Mike Tyson was just doing stuff because Mike Tyson been there for a while. But the owner, he ain't really – Ziggy Wolf ain't know about no football at the time.
Right.
So, you know, it was a whole transition. So my thing was just go hard as I could. Not for the Minnesota Vikings, but go hard for the other 31 teams that was in the league.
Right.
So that's what it boiled down to.
Right. I mean, we're running out of time. I feel like there's never enough time. So you may just have to come back. But I do want to touch really quickly because I think – sometimes it can be the hardest part for a football player when they realize their career is over and how they're going to transition. So how did you make that transition successful for yourself?
It was easy. See, a lot of people don't know. Me and Quinn Gray, I got released from the Jaguars. I went to Canada and came back. we went up to Buffalo. Me and Quinn went up to Buffalo and worked out for the Bills or whatever. And during that time, good training. We ended up coming back. I got a call back from Buffalo. They were like, hey, are you in shape? Yeah, I'm in shape. And we're going to sign you and bring you in for the offseason. Great. I love it. I called Buffalo back 2 hours later and say, man, I'm moving on. So once I made that call, I was at peace.
Yeah. Right.
Like at the end of the day, I went through a depression stage. And when you go through that depression stage and then I beat that depression stage and now the league calling me back, now I don't want to go through that depression stage no more. So I'm good. Let me get life started. And like I said, football got my life started. I can't complain. So it was easy for me to make that adjustment.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. You got to come back and give us that story because I don't think we talk a lot about the mental stress and the depression that any athlete goes through. I think sometimes it's harder for football players because of the grit and the grind on your physical body. So will you come back and share?
I'll definitely come back.
Okay, good. We like to, and for those of you who didn't get a chance to call in, the next time he's on the show, you can patch in and talk to Seatric. You are a great guest. I appreciate you.
I appreciate y'all.
You've been amazing. So listen, the show goes on. We carry it over to our live spot coming up at 2 o'clock. It's just a short break, so go grab some lunch and meet us over at Fourscore Golf Tavern in San Marco. To continue this conversation, we're going to have a couple other retired NFL players, some high school prospects that are going on to play some big-time college football, and, of course, food and game specials. We'd love to see your face in the place. Catch us at 2 o'clock. Until then, next weekend, we will be back. Same place, same time on your same dial. Your favorite sports radio show here on 1010XL Amateur's Edge. Signing out. See you guys soon.